Amen. Just remain standing if you will. Turn in your Bible to Revelation chapter number 22. Revelation chapter number 22. Last chapter and the last words of our Bible. Amen. Revelation chapter number 22. While you're finding your place, appreciate those that came and helped out at the nursing homes yesterday. We had a good time there at the nursing home. Backed it up a week. Normally it would be this coming Saturday, usually the fourth Saturday, but because of missions conference, we backed it up to give us a little bit more liberty and a little bit more rest maybe on Saturday this week. But had a good time. Didn't have as good a turnout in either home. The first one we go to there at Brighton, the lady that's usually there, the volunteer that's usually there to help us, was in the emergency room at the hospital. And so wasn't there. Another lady came in, the regular activities director came in and took over. But they didn't have the people gathered in as they normally would. And so that limited us there. And then the second one, not as many there either. And I don't know exactly why it was, but there was a gentleman, got to talk to me afterwards, a new man that I hadn't seen before. He asked me where we were from, and I said, Island Ford Baptist Church. He said, pointed over this way. I said, yes, sir, just across the parkway. And he said, the one with the radio station. I said, yes, sir. And he said, how's Brother Hall doing? That's the first thing he said. He said, I listened to it every day when I was at home. I listened to the radio station every day. He said, I've been in here a week and a few days now. He told me how many, either 2 or 3 or 4 days that he'd been in the nursing home. And he said, I haven't been able to listen since I've been here. But he asked me how things were going. His name's John Virgin. And I don't know if that rings a bell or not. But anyway, he told me his name and told me that he loved the station. And that's a blessing. Amen. We got the minute. He said he appreciated us being there. He said he hoped we'd come back. I said, we will. Lord willing, next month we'll be back. Amen. And be a blessing to him again. But I appreciate those of you that went and helped. I know that is a blessing as well. And just thank the Lord. Well, in our text that I'm looking at, I preached from this text last week as well. And I preached on the last words of the Savior. Remember what his last words were? Surely I come quickly. Last words of the Savior. This morning I want to look at the last words of a saint recorded in our Bible. Verse number 20 and 21. He which testifieth these things saith, here's a red letter, surely I come quickly. Here's the last words of a saint. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I certainly do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, I mentioned that these are the last words in Scripture, so it stands to reason these are the last words of the Savior and the last words of a saint. But it just dawned on me, actually, last week when I began studying this. I thought it would be one sermon, but it turned out to be two. I didn't feel like I could cover it all in the one. And I really thought I'd probably look at it Sunday morning, come back Sunday night. But I felt like I needed to go ahead and deal with the duties of husbands and wives on Sunday night and deal with the wives' special duty. And we finished that up this past Sunday night. Not the whole series, but that point. And so I saved the second part of this for today. Now, I say this, that when last words are important, when somebody gives us their last words, we remember them and reminisce on them for days, weeks, and perhaps even years to come. We remember vividly, a lot of times, last words that we heard from somebody. May not be the last words they ever spoke, but the last words we heard them say. the last words perhaps directed towards us, or that we were just in their presence and heard them say. Well, as I thought about that, I thought about these words that are recorded in our King James Bible, and they entail, as I said, the last word, or I'll say the last testimony of our Savior and the last testimony of a saint. Now, notice that Christ's last words are, "Surely I come quickly." I'm not going to go back over that message nor give you the points from that message, but I will say this, that those words are a comfort to the saint. Praise God. It helps us and encourages us and comforts us to know, just like the song sang, "This world's not my home. Jesus is coming." Amen. I don't know all what the future holds, but I know that Jesus is coming. Amen. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't even know necessarily what I'm going to do, but I know what He's going to do. Jesus is coming. Amen. He promised that He was, and He is coming. It's a comfort to the saint, but it is also a caution to the sinner in the fact that time will one day be no more. Time is running out for the sinner. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Amen. And so He gives us this comfort for the saint, this caution for the sinner. It gives the saint something to look forward to, and it gives the sinner the warning of impending judgment with the opportunity to make things right. Amen. Our Lord saying that He's coming. You remember probably when you as a child, as I were, was we'd play games, and for example, play hide and go seek, and we'd count whatever, you know, starting out, you might count to 10 because it might take you a while. After you learn to count a little faster, you might count to 100, give them a little bit of time to hide or whatever. When you get to whatever the point was, you'd say, "Ready or not, here I come." The statement, "Here I come," meant if you're not ready, you better get ready. When our Lord said, "Surely I come quickly," He's making that announcement. If you're not ready, you better be getting ready. That's the announcement that our Savior is making. Amen. But I want you to notice here that He says that He lets us know it is He that's doing the talking. Verse number 20, "He that testifieth these things." He said before that He sent His angel, Christ sent His angel to testify these things unto John. And John's the apostle with the message. But this is a personal message from Christ. Not the words of John, not the words of an apostle, or the words of an angel, but the words of our Lord Himself. He said, "I'm the one saying, surely I come quickly." I did deal with it last week, and I believe it's needful that quickly does not mean soon, but it means suddenly. He's going to come with no further announcement. He's going to come with no further warning. The day's coming that He's coming. Amen. And He'll come as a thief in the night, He said. Amen. But notice now the words of the Apostle John. These words, the one speaking now in the latter part of verse number 20, when he said, "Amen, even so come Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Amen. That first sentence, well, "Amen" is a sentence in itself. You see that? There's a period after it. Two or three things I thought about that. John was not afraid to say amen. John agreed with our Lord. Amen. But he also was not afraid, even later, at the end of the thing, he wasn't afraid to say amen. He wasn't afraid to amen his own statement. Amen. He said, "The grace of our Lord be with you all." And then again he says, "Amen." But that first sentence with the "amen" and "even so come Lord Jesus" is directed towards the Lord. That latter sentence is directed towards those that are here reading this epistle and those that might hear it preached unto them. But this is none other than the aged, beloved Apostle John. He's the one that leaned on the bosom of our Savior. He's the one that was standing by the cross when our Lord gave him instruction on taking care of Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this same aged, beloved Apostle John has been captured, imprisoned, exiled on the Isle of Patmos, the Bible says, for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He's out there alone and lonely, and on the Lord's Day, he was in the Spirit. That's what he said
I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and received this great revelation. As it is coming down to a close, the Apostle John inserts some words. Two times he says amen in that. And again, I think that is appropriate. And matter of fact, I think it helps us. It helps the preacher for you to say amen. But, and it helps the others for them to know they're agreeing with what he's got to say. Amen. They're agreeing with what he's got to say. And they're voicing their agreement. They're letting it be known that they are in agreement. So having said that, these last words of Christ are kind words, comforting words. Surely I come quickly. The last words of the Apostle John are welcoming words. Amen. Kind words our Lord spoke to the saint and to the sinner. But welcoming words John spake to the Savior about His coming. Amen. And so he says, even so. He answers affirmatively, first of all. He answers affirmatively, amen. I don't believe that was spoken in a subdued tone or in a passive agreement. Just under the breath, amen. No, I believe John said, amen. Probably like Josh did when Brother Troy drove up and Stephanie in the van. Amen. Amen. But there's the affirmative. There's the agreement of what he's got to say. And he said it in a... I believe he shouted it aloud. I believe he let it be known, his affirmation. Amen. Exclamation. 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 Amen. He put it out there. John believed that Jesus is coming quickly. John believed that Jesus is coming suddenly. And John longed to see it come to pass. Amen. I thought about it this way. John did not say, oh no. John did not say, wait a little longer, Lord Jesus. No. John said, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. His answer, though short, was filled with faith and filled with love. Amen. Faith, believing Christ's promise, and love, hastening for the fulfillment of that promise. Amen. John was ready for Jesus to come. Amen. I believe that John's words ought to be a mirror to the words of believers across our land. Towards the promise of Christ's coming. The coming of Christ should not be a fearful thing for us. It should be a faithful thing. It should be an affirmative thing. It should be a thing that we rejoice in and a thing that we're assured of. Amen. When we think about Christ's return, I want to think three things. Look at three things about these words and apply them to ourselves. I want to think, first of all, about the prefix to the saints' last testimony. Then the prayer in the saints' last testimony. And last of all, the purpose for the saints' last testimony. First of all, the prefixes. There's two. He says, first of all, amen. And then he says, even so. We've all heard it said that the word amen means so be it. It means even so. So it's like John said, amen, amen. But I think that there's a purpose that he's saying, amen, it's true. And he's saying, and since it's true, even so, Lord, don't wait around. Hasten you coming. Come on and get us. Amen. Was the idea that I've got. He has that affirmative, and he bursts forth with that amen. Jesus speaks and John answers amen. By the way, that's the way we all do. When God speaks to your heart through the preaching, through a song, through prayer, through a testimony, through an example of somebody else, when God speaks to your heart, you know what your response ought to be? Amen. Amen. Whatever God says, we ought to amen it. Because it's right. Amen. And so John here gives his affirmation, but he gives his personal consent to the statement. He says, I'm with you, Lord. Amen. I'm with you on that. I want you to come back. He believed the truth of it, and he gave forth evidence of his ardent desire that it might be even so. Jeremiah, in the Old Testament, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 28, verse 6, there's the first part of that sentence. He says, even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen, the Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied. In other words, Jeremiah said what God said. I amen what God said. Amen. That's the prefixes to the saints' last testimony. John believed Christ's promise. John believed the statement of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he longed to see it come to pass shortly. Amen. Notice, secondly, the prayer of the saints' last testimony. He says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's not just a statement. That's not just a praise. It is a prayer. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come and get me. One of the songs says, Dear Jesus, come and get me. Amen. John's words here are not directed towards us. They're directed towards the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I said they are words of praise, but they're more than words of praise. By the way, the Psalms. Psalms are praises, but sometimes they're prayers. And this is one of those. It's a praise, but it's also a prayer. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I believe that John saw the coming of the Lord as a blessed hope. He saw it as a wonderful thing to long for. Like Paul talks about to Titus, it is the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We ought to look for it, long for it, and hasten unto that day. Amen. Job did that. Job talked about, he believed in the resurrection of the body. He believed in the coming of the Lord. Here's what he said in Job 19, verse 25 through 27. He says, For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Let me stop just a minute. That's when those sore boils were all over Job's body. He was one cankering sore from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot. He said, though this body decays, though it is devoured by worms, yet I'm going to have another body. God's going to grant me a body, and in my flesh I shall see Him. You know why? Because He's alive and He's coming back. Amen. But he said, Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. In other words, Job said, I believe he's alive, I believe he's coming back, and I believe that when he does come back, I'll have a new body, praise God, and I'll be able to see him as he is. Amen. I read where they said that the early saints in the first century had a common saying that they would say to one another, and even to others, but particularly to one another in the fellowship of believers, they would say, Christ is risen and will return. Amen. Christ is risen and will return. Now, they believed it would happen in their lifetime. You know, Paul had to write to the church at Thessalonica because they got a little bit concerned that he hadn't come. Some of their loved ones had passed away, and they expected him to come before they did pass away. John or Paul had to write to them and give them some consolation. By the way, I think Paul expected the Lord to come in his lifetime. Amen. I think so many. We can go through the list. I mentioned to you about when I was a boy going to hear J.F. Akers. That when I heard him, he was 114. I think he died at 117. But he wrote in or had a interview with Grit Magazine. And in the interview, they asked him about what he attributed his longevity too. He said he attributed it to the promise of God's Word. He said, I obeyed my mother and father, and I honored my mother and father. And God said it'd be well with me, and my days would be long on the earth. But he said this, I'm talking about a man 100 and, I don't remember, I think they wrote that in Grit, was back like maybe 107 or so. But they said, in that, he said, I expect to be living when Jesus comes. He must have thought he was coming soon. You say, well, but they didn't live to see him come. No, but Job said that's not going to hinder him. If even though my body be consumed, he said he's going to come back. And when he does, he's going to have a body for me. Amen. He's going to resurrect me and in my flesh, praise God, I'll see him. Amen. We ought to believe that he may very well come in our lifetime. But if he doesn't, our hope's not dashed. He's going to keep his promise. Amen. Amen. And so I said those early Christians said Christ is risen and he shall return, or he will come again. Job could have said, Christ is coming again and I will arise when he does. Amen. There'll be a resurrection day for the saint when Jesus comes. Turn back with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. I alluded to this. Let me read you some of it. 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 4, just a few verses. I'm saying this coming of our Lord and the subsequent resurrection of the body. Some saints will be raptured out of a living body. Some will be raised from the dead, the resurrection, at our Lord's coming. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 13. You know these verses well, but do as good to look at them again. Revelations 4:13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And he's talking about folks that have died now. He calls it asleep. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another. Comfort one another with these words. Amen. Can I say that the second coming of our Lord ought to be a comfort to the child of God, knowing not just that our Lord is risen, but that our loved ones will rise as well. Amen. Amen. And knowing that if we lie in the dust, as they say, we shall arise to be with Him. Amen. There's another song that says, we shall sleep, but not forever. Amen. Amen. I think of a lot of songs. When I wake up, to sleep no more. Amen. Amen. I was thinking about that the other day. Not on that thought, but I'll just throw it out here. Church ought to be a place where you wake up and sleep no more. Amen. But I was reading, when I was reading through the book of Genesis and read about Cain and Abel, and when Cain, after he's judged of God, Cain left and fled. You know where he went? He went to the land of Nod. I thought that's what a lot of people do on Sunday morning. Amen. Well, we may sleep. I'm talking about we may die. Death may come our way. But I'm glad we've got a God that's got power over death, hell, and the grave. Amen. He's got the power to call us forth from the grave and will do so. Amen. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. He's not going to have to wait around and work extra hard to get it done. No, it's going to happen just like that. He's going to raise them from the dead. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's where the word rapture comes from, by the way. Be caught up together with them. Meet our Lord in the air. Amen. Meet our loved ones there as well. Amen. Brother Sammy Allen says there'll be a resurrection, there'll be a rapture, and there'll be a reunion. Amen. When we get with our loved ones there. Well, believers then ought to not dread the second coming of the Lord, but ought to rejoice in it. Matter of fact, I think we ought to be ready and we ought to be praying that it take place. Amen. Turn, if you will, to 2 Timothy. I'll just give you a text. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Paul's about ready to pass off the scene. You know the scriptures. Last words of Paul written to Timothy, the last letter of Paul, written, and it's written to Timothy, and he says this, verse number 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. They say that means, that in the Greek, that has the words, my ship has docked, and I'm ready to get on board and sail away. Amen. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but look at this phrase, but unto all them also that love what? Not just love Him, love His second coming. Love His appearing. That's what He said. Saints ought not just love Jesus, they ought to love Him so much they want to see Him again. Amen. They ought to love Him so much they want to see all of His promises fulfilled. Amen. They ought to look for His appearing. They ought to love His appearing. They ought to pray and hasten unto His appearing. Amen. Paul said that in Philippians. We were looking through the book of Philippians, verse by verse, and just about to finish that. But in verse chapter number 1, verse number 23, Paul says this. He said, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." He said, if Jesus would just come get me, that'd be the best thing that could happen for me. Amen. Be the best thing that could happen for Jesus just to come and take us on out of here. Paul said, I'm in a strait. I'm longing for that. I want to be here for you, but I long to be with my Lord. That's what he's saying. I thought about it this way. A bride longs for the day when she can be with her groom. Amen. They make that promise and they make all those plans. Most men, the day they propose, they'd be glad just to get married right that moment. But the girl's got to have some time to plan. And her parents, amen, need some time to plan. Amen. They need an escape plan. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. And I'll just be honest about it. Sometimes the parents, maybe of both, the bride and the groom, the parents sort of dread that day coming. But the bride and groom don't dread it. No, sir. The bride and groom don't dread it. The bride looks for that day. Amen. She's longing for that day. She's hastening unto that day. And that's what we're talking about right here. When Jesus said, surely I come quickly. The bride, John, part of the bride, said, amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Had a prayer that he might come on and get us. Amen. Paul longed for that rewarding day. John longed for that rewarding day. And all God's laboring saints ought to long for that rewarding day. Look over in the book of James. If I can find it, I put some of my verses down wrong, and I didn't find this one, but I remember, and it just came back to me where it was at. It's in the book of James, and let's see if I can find it, which chapter it's in. He talks about that. Here we go, chapter number 5. Praise God. James chapter number 5. Verse number 7. Here's the words of James. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth. And it has the idea of with anticipation. Waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he have received the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Hallelujah. Amen. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now here's the idea. He said, wait patiently. That don't mean sit down and go to sleep. No, it means you're standing at the door waiting for the knock on the door. Like how it is when my wife, when she knows that the children, some of the children are coming over, we might be sitting there reading, or she might be busy about doing something, every little bit. Every little noise is a car door. She'll run, look out the window, or run, open the door. She's ready. I don't know if any of them, maybe Joshua has, because he's been to our house a lot more and he's a little bit more familiar. But when they've come a long way and we know that they're coming, and I don't know if any of them have ever made it into the house without her being out there to greet them before they got in the house. That's the way we ought to be with the Lord. And amen. We ought to want the Lord to come. I'm ready to go, Lord. Amen. I'm ready to go. All you got to do is say the word, Lord. I am ready. That's how we ought to pray towards the Lord. Amen. Amen. I said Paul longed for that day. Look back in the book of Romans, chapter number 8.
And you'll see it in the Scripture as well. Romans chapter number 8. While you turn there, I'm going to jot down this so I can fix my notes. Yep, all right. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Sound to me like Paul wasn't dwelling too much on the troubles down here. He is thinking more about the joys up yonder. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. What's he talking about? He said the whole world's waiting for Jesus to come back. Let me find it. Verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Amen. You know what Paul was saying there? Paul was saying, listen, there's a groaning down inside of me. This world's not my home. There's a groaning down inside of me. I don't like this body of flesh. I don't like this body of failure. I don't like this life of temptation. I don't like this world of trouble. There's a groaning inside of me longing for a better day. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. Talking about the prayer in the saints' last testimony. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it sounds like just talking about looking for it gets him excited. He said, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Hallelujah. He said, this body starts burdening me more and more every day. And I'm longing for the day I can lay this body aside and I can put on that body that he's prepared for me. Amen. And I can be clothed with the clothing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. John talked about that. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. You know it well. He said, but beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Amen. For we shall see him as he is. Amen. We'll see him and we'll be changed into his likeness. Amen. Won't that be a great day? Oh, blessed thought. Amen. Amen. That's why I can say, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. It's a blessed thought when we say, and when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. But there's another thought, that when I think that the trumpet's going to sound and Jesus is coming back not just to redeem, but to rapture his own and bring them into glory, what a blessed, blessed thought that is. Amen. Amen. What a day. It's no wonder that the Apostle John would say, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We look forward to that day. We long for that day. We should pray for that day to hasten on. One more verse on this or thought. Matthew chapter number 6. If you want to turn back there, you can. We looked at this when we studied the Sermon on the Mount. Our Lord was just beginning his earthly ministry. You remember that Matthew 3, our Lord was baptized. In Matthew chapter 4, he goes immediately into the wilderness. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, he's on the mount preaching what some believe, and I believe perhaps could have been, I'll just say it that way, the first official sermon of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In that sermon, he gives us a model prayer. He tells us how to pray. Matthew chapter 6, and let me look down here, in verse number
Verse number 9, he says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. So this is how you pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Look at this next verse 10. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debt. And on and on and on it goes. But here's what I notice. Excuse me. Notice the order of the prayer. Verse number 9 deals with the praise to God. You always begin your prayer with praise, thanking God, giving glory to God. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10 gets to the requests. Before he asks for daily bread, before he asks for forgiveness, the first thing he asks for, thy kingdom come. Even so, come Lord Jesus. First thing on the lips of our Savior in his model prayer. First thing on the lips of the disciples that followed that model prayer. Amen. First thing on the heart as a request unto God. Amen. Of course, the Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, he says, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. We ought to be looking for it. We ought to be hastening unto it. Number 3. Now, here's my last one. There was the prefixes to the Saints' last testimony, and there's the prayer in the saints' last testimony. I want you to notice the purpose. This last part of verse number 21. Let me get back over there because I lost my place. The last part of verse number 21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. This is directed to people that are reading this letter. This is directed to people that are hearing the preaching of this gospel message. John's saying here, not only do saints get excited about escaping this world, not only do saints long to enjoy heaven with our Lord, but saints long for others to make the same entrance into this grace. We long to see others come to know this same grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The fact that we say, even so come Lord Jesus, does not mean we don't care about our loved ones. In reality, we hate to see our loved ones wallowing in sin, reaping the sure judgment that comes from those. We hate to see that happen. By the way, especially when we know they don't have to wallow in that sin. When we know there's a way out of the bondage they're in. When we know there is an escape route made, and that escape route is the Lord Jesus. And so we long for them to come to know the same grace we know. Amen. So John's excited about Jesus coming, but at the same time, he's thinking about loved ones that need to come to Christ. Amen. It is true that we're looking heavenward, and we should. Amen. But we wish to point others heavenward as well. It's not that we just seclude ourselves from the world, go up on some mountain and just wait for Jesus to come. Oh no, the world needs to hear the message that Jesus is coming. We ought to long for all of them to know the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as well. Amen. The child of God trembles when he thinks of those trapped in darkness and the horror that's going to come upon them should the rapture take place. And they're unprepared. Because immediately after the rapture are 7 years of tribulation. Days known as Jacob's trouble. Perhaps the first 3.5 years of that will be pretty well peaceful, but the last part of that 7 years, the 3.5 year part, is going to be torment like we've never known. People think it's bad now. If they miss the rapture, they don't know what bad is yet. Amen. We tremble when we think about the fact that Jesus is coming. It's sure. We get excited about it. But we also get concerned about those that are not ready. We wish for them to come to salvation. We long to see both His coming and they're coming. His coming for us, and they're coming to Him. That's what we long for. Amen. I believe that John wished that same grace as well. That's his last prayer. I believe similar to our Lord's prayer on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. John said, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The last words of a testimony, or the last testimony of a saint. One last thing, I'll get to my conclusion. Let me think about this. We've all heard stories. Perhaps we've seen it take place. Story of a little grandmother. She suffered, and her time of suffering's coming to a close. She gathers all of her family around her. By the way, to me, not that I long to die a slow, tortured death, but it'd be a nice thing to be able to speak a last word with cognizance, to be able to think and say something to them. And she gathers them around, and here's what she says to them. I want to see all my family on the other side. Amen. Listen, all the disagreements of the past are forgotten. Amen. All the aggravations, all the whatever, all that is put aside and is forgotten. You know why? Because the real desire of a saint towards the end is that we want all of the family to be together. Amen. We sing that song, I want us to be together in heaven. Amen. Will the circle be unbroken? We're longing for everybody to be at home with the Lord when that day comes. That's what John's saying in his last words. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. My message today, we've looked at the last words of the Savior, recorded in the Bible. The last words of a saint, recorded in the Bible. I want us to search our heart and see if we can say, as John said, even so, come Lord Jesus. I want us to search our heart and see if in reality we're concerned about our loved ones like we ought to be, knowing that the coming of the Lord is sure. It's certain that He's going to come. I closed my Bible, but I shouldn't have. Open your Bible again. Revelation chapter number 22. One last verse I want to show you. I'd never thought on this verse in this fashion, but I read it in a man's commentary written in the 1600s that jumped off at me. And he didn't see it in any other connotation. He didn't see it like I've always seen it. But let me back up and say this before I get there. I cannot imagine a wife, if things are right in the home, I cannot imagine a wife not wanting her husband to come on home. I can't imagine a bride, I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, if they're right with God, I can't imagine them not longing for the Lord to come on. Amen. Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Who are they saying that to? Who are they saying that to? I've always took it because you read the rest of the connotation. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Excuse me. I've always read that as saying, the Spirit's saying, come to Jesus. The saints are saying, come to Jesus. Come to the water of life. Take of the water of life. But when you read it from the start, verse number 16, and you could back up even further. He says in verse number 12, and behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me. And he starts talking about himself. Starts talking about what's outside. Verse 15, for without are dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth the make of the lie. And he said, I sent my angel to testify these things. Testify what? That Jesus is coming. Amen. And when His angel testifies that Jesus is coming, the Spirit of God says, come. Amen. And the bride says, come. Amen. And everybody that hears it ought to be ready for Him to come. But if you're not ready, you better run to the water of life. That's what that verse is saying. I'm convinced of it. You better run to the water of life, take of that water of life freely, because if you're still hearing it and He hadn't come yet, there's hope for you.
Amen.
Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. The last testimony of a saint in the Scripture. Father, help us to bode on these last words. Help us, dear God, to let them ring in our own heart and actually help them to echo out of our own heart. Lord, that we could say, even so, come Lord Jesus. That we could say to all that would hear, may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you all. That we long to see sinners come to Jesus, and we long to see Jesus come and rescue us out of this dark world. Lord, I pray help that if there are sinners here this morning, that they wouldn't hesitate, that they wouldn't put it off. Procrastinate. Lord, that they would just run to Jesus. That they might just fall upon Your mercy. That they might cast themselves before Your feet. That You might rescue them from their life of sin. I know You can. I know You will. You said that he that cometh unto Me, I will in no wise cast out. I believe that, Lord. And the Lord help us as saints. To love You like we ought to long for Your coming, to be working till You come, and to bring You glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We're going to sing, and as we sing, if the Lord spoke to you, you need to come. I want to give you that opportunity to do so. 159. Would you come?